there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Welcome, everyone, to the SI Gambling Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Trina, joined by Gary Gramling. Our third partner here, Mitch Goldich, has the week off, so it's just me and Gary here for week 11 in the NFL. Gary, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Jimmy. It was a pretty solid week. Mitch needed a bit of a break after... He wasn't too bad on his best bets last week, though.
What was his record, do you know?
I want to say he was like 2-3.
Okay. I went 2-1-1, which I'll take. The tie was the over in the Giants-Eagles game. A little bummed about that. Terrible pick with the Seahawks against the Rams. But 2-1-1, so I'll take that. What was your record?
I've been warning you guys about the Seahawks. No. I went 3-1. I shouldn't have thrown in, obviously. Nice. I shouldn't have thrown in that Sunday night Ravens bet. Although I don't necessarily regret it. The weather in that game was absurd. Yeah. I have a feeling if those teams had a rematch in a normal conditions, the Ravens -7, I would still like that.
I took a beating in that game where it matters, unfortunately. I had all sorts of things. I kind of like the board, though, this week. We'll go through it now. And some interesting games for betting and on the board. So... let's roll through it. We'll start with probably the best game of the day, definitely the best 1 o'clock game. Ravens at home, giving 5.5 points to the incoming Titans. The total here is 49.5. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm not putting too much stock into last year's playoff game where the Titans just went in there and 28-12 was the final and they controlled that game pretty well, even though the Ravens sort of rolled up a lot of yardage in that one. These teams are a lot different right now. The Titans on their back end defensively, they just can't play this year. I don't know what's going on there. They have some injury issues, but that's really fallen apart there. And, you know, we kind of know what's going on with the Ravens offense. They were going to slide back most likely anyway off of a historically great year, and now they have all sorts of problems on the offensive line. A couple of, you know, Marshall Yanda had retired, now no Ronnie Stanley, now no Nick Boyle, and I don't want to overplay Nick Boyle as if he's, I don't know, the second coming of Mike Ditka or something, but they like to use tight ends that offense. It keeps opposing defenses in their base, and that allows, you know, that allows the Ravens to take advantage with speed, et cetera, et cetera. So my point is, I think the Ravens are going to get there offensively, but I think they're transitioning right now, and I'm not sure what they're going to roll out with this week. Frankly, I thought this line was going to be like maybe 4.5 for the Ravens, something like that. I was surprised it was this high. Mm. I'll probably back off the side. I am leaning Titans here. I like the under, though. I don't think the Titans are going to throw the ball a ton. I don't think you're going to see a lot of big plays in this game. I think you're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. The Ravens on the defensive side, they're probably going to be without Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell again, who are the two big guys up front. So I think a lot of Derrick Henry in this game, a lot of sort of sustained offense as opposed to big plays. And, you know, I think the score remains fairly low here. If I had to guess, it's going to be like a 24-20 Ravens win or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I'm concerned about the Titans. I had texted two people with NFL ties before they played the Colts on that Thursday night game. And I said, you know, and they don't bet. So I said, just what do you think here? Because I didn't get the line. And they both separately wrote back and said the Titans defense is a mess.
Yeah.
Which could be just what Baltimore needs right here. Because the offense, like you said, not there, not clicking. Lamar Jackson, you know, there's issues there. And like you said, that line's a little high, so it's a stay-away game here for me. I'm not sure where to go on that one. I do like the next game, though. The Browns are at home giving a field goal to the Eagles. The total is 47. I like Cleveland -3 here a lot. I think the Eagles are done. Both teams not great with the spread. Both teams are 3-6 against the spread. But with Chubb back, I think the Browns' offense can really do a number on a very bad Eagles defense. So I like laying just a field goal there at home with the Browns.
No, it's funny. Look, Carson Wentz I'm a Carson Wentz guy. I was hoping he'd be better coming out of the bye week. And in his defense, he was kind of okay in that Giants game. I've never quite seen anything like that coming out of an Eagles team. It's like Wentz wasn't the problem. Everybody else was the problem in this one, and Wentz was still kind of mad, but Jason Kelce couldn't snap the ball all of a sudden. They had all these pre-snap penalties. They couldn't get their protections right. I don't know what that team did. They somehow got significantly worse during their week off, and I don't know how to read it. My sense is at some point the Eagles are going to click, but I'm probably completely wrong at this point. It's mid-November.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
I said the Eagles are done. I shouldn't say that for the sole reason that they're in the NFC East. So a couple of wins and you're in first place. Yeah. But the way they're playing, you know, if they had any respectable team in that division, they'd be done.
You know why I back off this game, Jimmy, is like I just feel like the football gods won't let the New York Giants win this division and play a home playoff game. It's too chaotic. Even in 2020, it's too chaotic to happen.
I think that's where we're headed, to be honest with you. I really do.
Logically, yes.
In all these sports, it's about peaking at the right time. And, you know, the Giants may end up doing that. So I don't know. But I like the Browns here. That Eagle defense is so bad. I could see Cleveland really doing a number here on the ground in this one. Next game, another one I like here. The Bengals go into Washington, the Washington football team, 1.5-point favorites. The total is 46. You have thoughts on this one?
You go first. I'm going to guess you're a Burrow guy, so I'm guessing you're
on
the Bengals
here.
Yeah,
they're 6-3 against the spread. This is where Burrow, I think, you know, listen, when you are a rookie, you've got to take steps. You know, win your first game, win your first road game. There's steps. I think this is, you know, this is a nice spot here for Joey B, playing a not great team on the road. You're getting 1.5. I just, sometimes we analyze. I look at it. The Bengals are the better team here. They are better than Washington. You know, Alex Smith could throw for 9 million yards against the Lions. I don't care. This is, I think, a prime spot here for the Bengals to get a nice, you know, 10, 13, 14-point win. Don't worry about road. Burrow will not be flustered by that. And again, you get a point and a half.
I would say Alex Smith has got to bring that Lions defense wherever he goes, yeah. like Globetrotters versus Washington Generals from here on in. I agree with you, Jimmy. I'm not going to best bet this one. I'm going to back away from it. But I do want to mention, because I didn't mention it last week, but I did go on for like 3 hours about my red zone adjustment sheet and how I yes. sort of take red zone out of the factor on point differential, because I think red zone is really completely random when it comes right down to it. Point differential, if you take red zone out of it, going into last week, you know, they've fallen since then. They got blown out by a really good Steelers team last week. But Bengals were 16th going into last week. That's right in the middle of the pack. I really think it is a top 20 team, and I'm with you. Look,
and they haven't had Mixon for a few weeks.
Yep, and honestly, I think they're fine with Mixon. I mean, you'd rather have Mixon, but I don't think he's a game changer at this point. I think Bengals are middle of the pack. I think Washington is, you know, bottom 10, and that's just the way it is.
Now, the next game, I know you have feelings on. This is the one that I don't. The Panthers are at home, giving a point and a half to the Lions. Now, when I was doing a little writing all this stuff down, there was no total. Let me double check. I guess I don't know if it's because of McCaffrey or whatnot. Yeah, there's still no total on it. They took it off the board on DraftKings, but it's the Panthers at home only giving a point and a half here to the Lions, which seems fishy, so I'll let you take it.
Yeah, I had seen over 47.5, which I liked in this one. But I do like Detroit in this one. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know I like Detroit all the time, every day of the week. But
what a sentence.
Yeah, it's I'll say this. The Panthers are kind of turning into the team that we thought they were. Look, they've overachieved. That coaching staff deserves plenty of kudos this year. I think they've done as good a job as any staff in the league getting, I mean, they have 3 wins out of a team that really talent-wise is probably a 2-14, 3-13 team. So they've just been exposed defensively the last couple weeks. And obviously the Bucs can play and the Chiefs can play, but they're giving up like 400 yards every game. I think this is one where the Lions are just going to move the ball with relative ease. And then the question is, you know, does this Panthers offense have enough to keep up with that? It's funny. It's like when the Panthers go against a good defense, I trust that they're going to come up with a way to sort of, come up with a game plan and sort of find the weaknesses. It's easy to see the weaknesses in the Lions defense. They can't rush the passer and they can't cover anyone. But I don't know. I just get this feeling the Lions are going to sit back in coverage. They're going to make the Panthers dink and dunk the entire game. And at some point, the Panthers are just going to dry up, because Teddy has been a little bit mistake prone this year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions took it away once or twice, which they just never do. But that's sort of my long way of arriving to the fact that I do like Detroit as a side in this one. And again, we'll see what the number ends up at. I had seen it at 47.5. I do like the over in this one, because I think the Lions will put up points. And as always, the Lions, you know, whatever, they'll get a 3-touchdown lead and then they'll give up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I have no fear. I would think Carolina at home minus point and a half seems so easy, but that line is very fishy to me. You know, it can't just be because of McCaffrey, because they played decently without McCaffrey. I don't know. The Lions are a team where I have to stay away from them more times than not. Their games are weird. You can't trust them. But this is a spot here where you think, okay, why are they getting a point and a half on the road? And then that's when they win. So, I don't blame you for going that direction on that one. But for me, it's a stay away. The next game is, I think, an interesting one at 4 o'clock. It's the Dolphins going into Denver. Miami, 3.5-point road favorites, rolling now at Tua. And the total here is 45.5. I really want to pick the Broncos here. Tua, road game, tough place to play, even with no fans in the stands, with the mile high factor. The Broncos are up and down, up and down. But I, you know, getting 3.5 at home against a rookie quarterback, but they've got quarterback issues with Drew Lock, obviously. And it doesn't look like he didn't practice today. So, you know, it's kind of ridiculous to sit here and say, like, well, if Drew Lock was the quarterback, I'd bet him, as if Drew Lock was you know, some kind of top 10 quarterback. I think I would pick Denver either way. I just think the Dolphins would do at some point for a little bit of a thumper, and I think this could be it. What do you think?
No, yeah, I always hate teams going into Denver. We talk about it. That's the one place where, even in a year with no fans, you have something of a home field advantage there.
Right.
It's interesting. I want to like the Dolphins here, but the things that worry me are, and it's funny because it's almost like Drew Lock's been awful. Brett Rypien, it's a nice story. It's cool that he's Mark Rypien's nephew and all that, but he played in that Thursday night game against the Jets, and I don't know what the sort of general take is on him because they won that game.
Right.
And I remember Aikman was doing his best to be optimistic about it. I mean, look, he's the guy's basically a third string quarterback. He was terrible in that game. I mean, he couldn't play. So I think what you're going to see is the Broncos are just going to try and run the ball 30, 35 times and just milk the clock in this one and do whatever they can to stay in it. The Dolphins are susceptible to the run. They do give up some yards on the ground. The Dolphins are really good defensively because they get in these exotic blitz packages, and then on top of that, they have two really good cornerbacks, and that's why they're not getting beaten, because everyone in the league right now is built to pass the ball. The Broncos are kind of built to run the ball here.
Right.
So, I'm probably twisting myself in knots trying to get off the Dolphins in this one. I really like the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are a legitimate top 10 team right now. And I'm also with you. Like, Tua, the Broncos haven't been good defensively. They haven't been as good as their talent would suggest. I don't think they're as bad as they've been the last couple of weeks, though. I think at some point they hang on. Vic Fangio gives a rookie quarterback a lot of sort of tricky looks to decipher, and I think Denver can hang around, keep it a one possession game.
Yep, I'm with you on that. The next game, I'm going to break one of my rules. The Chargers are giving 9 points at home to the Jets. The total is 46.5. You know, everyone knows the Jets are an embarrassment. Obviously, they don't have a win, but man, when you go digging into the stats. I mean, the second worst offense in the NFL is the Bears, averaging 300 yards a game. The Jets, 266. I mean, you're talking about a 40-yard differential from the... And then on top of that, second worst scoring team in the NFL, again, the Bears, 19.1 points per game. The Jets, 13.4. I mean, it's staggering. My rule is never, ever, ever trust the Chargers. If this game is not 38-13, I don't know what to do at this point.
It's I'm with you, Jimmy, and I'm probably going to best bet the Chargers in this one too. I talked about a little bit last week, saying, you know, everyone's sort of ready to get on that Chargers bandwagon because they've won so many, lost so many games in Chargers fashion. I thought last week was just a bad matchup against the Dolphins. I thought they just didn't match up well with them. I thought Herbert was just overwhelmed with what the Dolphins threw at him blitz-wise. You're not really going to get that from the Jets. I do think Greg Williams does a good job with that defense, but they can't do the kind of exotic things that the Dolphins can do, and more than that, their guys can't get, they don't have cornerbacks. They just don't have guys who can cover.
Yeah, I think they're starting three backups or three rookies in the secondary this week.
Yeah.
The Jets, Justin Herbert, which I always want to say A-Bear because I grew up on A-Bear, but Justin Herbert. How does the Jets offense keep up with the Chargers in this one? I mean, is it at all possible?
Jimmy, it's wild. Like, we all watch the Bears offense on Monday night, and to think that there's another offense that's like 50% worse than them is, it's hard to wrap your mind around.
Right. I said in our previous discussion about Miami-Denver that Drew Lock wasn't practicing, and now I just saw a tweet from Pro Football Talk that Drew Lock is practicing on Thursday, so
okay.
It's a good sign if you want to go in on Denver +3.5 against the Dolphins. The next game is the marquee game at 4:25 on Sunday. The Packers go into Indianapolis. I have to apologize to the Colts and the Colts fans. I've been trashing them, and they cover or win every week. Colts, though, are only -2 at home against the Packers. Big total here of 51. What do you got, Gar?
I love the Colts, and I've been on the Colts all year. I've been on the Colts for like the last 2 years, but this is the second time in 3 weeks where I'm going against them at home as home. Small favorites in this one, but when it comes to the Packers, they're two shaky games the last 3 weeks, the loss to Minnesota and the narrow victory over Jacksonville. It's been in, you know, bad weather, obscenely windy. Frankly, last week in Jacksonville, they had a couple of fluky turnovers and they gave up a 91-yard punt return touchdown. I mean, that's why they didn't cover last week. So I think playing indoors in these kind of elements, Rodgers throughout his career has had good numbers indoors. He's got like a 108 rating or something career in dome games. But I think the Packers offense gets back on track pretty easily. I think the Colts defense is, as much as I love it, I think it's solvable. And I think it's solvable for a veteran quarterback like Rodgers. And I do think the Packers end up winning this one by a touchdown.
Yeah, I've been off the Packers the last couple weeks. I didn't like what I've seen. And I've been going against the Colts. I'm not there yet to pick them, and I don't want to pick the Packers. It's stay away from me. But I'm at the point now where I'd lean Colts if I had to pick it, if I was in some contest or something. But I just think, you know, something's off with the Packers. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, and it's weird to say something's off because there's such a good connection going on with Rodgers and Adams, but there's something, you know, it's not a big time defense at all. So I'm going to stay away from this one on Sunday. I will not stay away from the next game, though. The Vikings are at home giving a touchdown to the Cowboys. The total is 47.5. Listen, Dallas is 1-8 against the spread. The Vikings are 6-3 against the spread. Dalvin Cook could have 200 plus yards in this one. You're just laying a touchdown at home. Andy Dalton back from COVID. The Vikings here should have a very easy win against the Cowboys. I think sort of shot their shot against Pittsburgh at home, and it ended up doing nothing for them. Still ended up losing the game. Now they go on the road after that. You know, they thought they'd get that home win maybe. Now they go on the road. I don't see the effort being there, and I see the Vikings with their offense playing a lot better in recent weeks, doing a number here on a terrible Cowboys defense.
I'm with you, Jimmy. I'm backing off this one. I don't know why I pity some of these teams. I just kind of pity the Cowboys at this point. I'll back off this one. A short week for the Vikings. I guess that'll be my justification for staying away here. But it's really difficult to figure out how the Vikings would hang around unless, I mean, I don't know. Are the Cowboys going to turn it around defensively? Excuse me, the Cowboys. Are the Cowboys going to turn around defensively at this point? I don't know. That's all I got.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
All right, and then Sunday night, NBC, we've got the Chiefs giving 8 to the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas. Biggest total of the week, 56.5. This one is now interesting because apparently when the Raiders upset the Chiefs in Kansas City a few weeks ago, they did a victory lap, I guess, around Arrowhead, and the Chiefs are now all pissed off about that. So we got a little bit of a – I think even Andy Reid got in on knocking the Raiders for doing the victory lap. So who knows how that factors into this one. So it's Chiefs -8 on the road in Las Vegas, total 56.5. What do you got?
Yeah, and it sounds like there's some COVID stuff going on in this one. It looks like the Chiefs offensive linemen are back. Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher were on the list, and now it looks like they are back at practice, so we would expect them to play. I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know, but some of these games, some of the developments, like on Saturday when the Bills all of a sudden lost their number 2 and 3 cornerbacks and had to pull a bunch of guys off the practice squad and fly across the country. I mean, that stuff has such a big impact on these games. Frankly, I was on the Bills, and then I jumped off the Bills once that happened, and of course the Bills ended up covering anyway because Cardinals chose not to kick that point at the end.
I know here with the Chiefs offensive linemen, it was a, you know, they were in, I guess, contact with someone.
Close contact, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, but as far as this one goes, I think the Chiefs have a chance to run up the score here. They will do so. But it was funny, I was on a Vegas radio station, and they were like, you know, I think they can do the sweep. And I just cannot picture any NFC West team sweeping the Chiefs at any point. Even with the loss to the Raiders back in week 5, 29-4 since 2015 within the division, and I talked about it toward the beginning of the season here. The three of those four losses, there was the loss to the Raiders in Week 5. The other three losses were all Thursday night games, and they were all lost in the final minute of the games there. So I don't know. I just think the Chiefs are going to go out there and score however many points they want. It sounds like Chris Jones is back defensively. I think the Raiders have done a nice job this year, but Chiefs just have them outclassed.
Yeah, you know, I want to pick the Chiefs, obviously. I say that every week. 8 on the road is a little tough for me. So I'm not going to pick them here, but I can tell you I will probably have the Chiefs in about 47 teasers on Sunday. And bring that number down to, you know, -1.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode.
Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right. Those are the games we like. We're going to do a little lightning round here. These are games we don't really have a feel for, but we'll give you a couple of sentences on each. The Steelers, 10.5-point road favorites in Jacksonville, total 46.5. Yeah, I can't pick Jacksonville. So, you know, and then you're going to lay 10.5 on the road. Again, the Steelers, a little bit of a clunker in Dallas. They still pulled it out. I could see sort of that same scenario happening in this one.
Yeah, I want to once again invoke the ghost of Scott Grambling, our former co-host here, Jimmy. He had sent the note during the show a couple weeks ago when the Steelers were giving all those points to the Cowboys, saying, you know, the trends are all bad for Steelers as a double-digit favorite here. So if you update those numbers, because it's still at 10 right now.
10.5
Yeah. 10.5 Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're 1-7 against the spread as a double digit favorite under Mike Tomlin. They are what does this go down to? 5-13 against the spread. If you go back to 2011, they're 0-7. If you go back to 2017, although almost, it's not really an although. It's all of these games have pretty much gone under. There, 18 games there since 2011 as double digit favorites, and 16 have gone under, and their last six. Last 6-7 have gone under since 2017. So I'll probably stay away from the side. I think I might like the under in this one, though. And that is, I don't know, that might be the last time I invoke the ghost of Scott Gramling, who is very much alive, by the way. I don't want to spook people out. Lightning round, we got the seance going on.
Well, that's a good stat right there on the Steelers as double-digit favorites, that's for sure. The next game, the Saints are giving 5 at home to the Falcons. The total here is 50. I don't know. The Falcons have scared me all year long. I usually get off their games. I would lean heavily on the Saints. I think I'll tie it in with what I said a minute ago. I think a Saints Chiefs Steelers for a nice chunk of change will be in order on Sunday. But I don't want to lay the 5 here in the divisional game. What do you got?
Yeah, it's Falcons have been a second half team. Obviously, they put themselves out of playoff contention, and then they rack up the wins after that. But it's also too much volatility with the Saints' quarterback situation here. My sense is, my guess is, and it is just a guess at this one, I think Taysom Hill gets a ton of snaps. I think Taysom Hill maybe even gets a majority of snaps over Jameis Winston in this game. Though we'll see what happens going forward. Jameis almost threw two horrific interceptions at the end of that 49ers win that let the 49ers back into it. And I just can't imagine Sean Payton saying, I'm cool with this.
Yeah. Five just, that's a teaser game for me. Definitely. Next game, again, two teams here. I don't know how you read them. Patriots go into Houston. The Patriots are 2-point favorites. People are getting slowly back on the bandwagon. The total here is 48.5. Houston 2-7 against the spread this season. If Bill O'Brien was still the coach, and you get Bill Belichick only giving 2 points to Bill O'Brien, you scoop that up like there's no tomorrow. But I'm not sold on the Patriots at all just because they beat the Ravens. The Houston offense, obviously, last week in Cleveland, I don't know, with the wind and the weather there, that's a factor. Now they're back at home. The under here to me seems like a very strong play. 48.5 with a Patriot team that has nothing going on offense. And, I think Belichick can devise some defense here to slow down the Texans. I think 48 is very high. I do like the under in this one as a lean. What about you?
No, I'm with you on the under. As far as the sides go, I want to get back on the Patriots bandwagon. Being basically a neutral weather game, Deshaun Watson is going to be the best player on the field. And the other thing is, look, the Texans, their pass defense is the issue. They have no pass rush. They don't have a very good secondary. They're going to get lit up in games like this. I don't know if the Patriots have the ability to do that to an opponent, though. So I could see the Texans stealing this one. I am with you, though. I think this one stays fairly low scoring, because even if Deshaun Watson holds up his end of the bargain, I just don't know if this Patriots offense will.
Yeah. That line is crazy to me. That total is crazy. Last game, it's the Monday Nighter. Bucks at home, giving 4 to the Rams. Total 48.5. So the Bucks and Rams total is the same as the Patriots and Texans total. Go figure that out.
I will say the Rams and the Bucks at least play some defense here, unlike the Texans. Yeah, this one is. I love both teams. I do think Bucks are easily top 5. I think the Rams are borderline top 5 in the NFL. It's just a matter of, do you buy the Bucks just not being able to figure out the Saints, but they can figure out anyone else in the league? I mean, they did whatever they wanted against the Panthers last week. Granted, the Panthers defensively are not the Rams, but they had 10 possessions. They scored on 10 possessions, and that's pretty good. Rams, really good defensively. I'm curious what's going to happen when a team, and I think the Bucks might be that team, just say like, okay, you're gonna show these fronts where it's Aaron Donald and one of their down linemen, and then you just have a bunch of defensive backs on the field. We're just gonna run it down your throat for 60 minutes, and we're not gonna get away from that. That might be what happens this week. I guess I would lean Bucks. I just don't feel good about it because I just like the Rams a lot and I like their coaches.
Yeah, I would lean over in this one. I'm not sold on the Bucks defense like everyone else. I think, listen, you need each team maybe get to 24, get over the 40.5. I think that's very doable. I would lean over in that one. I don't love it, but I would definitely lean that way. Rams are another one of those teams I haven't had a good read on for the season. So staying away from that. That wraps up going through the weekly list. Do our best bets now for week 11. What do you got?
Jimmy, I'm incredibly rude. You're gonna have to help me out with some of these lines here.
Sure.
Because I jotted them down this morning, and I should have updated them during the show. But again, I'm just so rude. I'm gonna go with Detroit. Given a 1.5 is what we have it at. That's at right. Carolina. I'm gonna take the Packers +2 at Indianapolis.
Correct. Yep.
I got the Chargers giving 8.5.
9.
Given 9, I'll still take it.
I don't think
it.
That half point will be a problem with the Jets.
I'll still take it and watch the Chargers give up, 2 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes to win by 8. So I'll take the Chargers -9 versus the Jets, and I will take the Chiefs given those 8 points at Las Vegas, though I would typically see your side of it where you kind of say, division opponent, not crazy about it. And my two totals, I'm going to take the under in Ravens-Titans. I think that's 49.5 right now.
Ravens-Titans 49.5, correct.
And I'm going to take the under in that Steelers-Jaguars game, which 46 is 46. 46.5, even better. Yeah, so that's what I got. It took me forever to read them, but that's only 6.
I had 4. I'm going to give you 5. I'm going to give you 2 favorites, 2 underdogs, and a total. I'm going to go Browns -3 against the terrible Eagles defense in Cleveland. Hopefully the wind will allow the Browns to throw it a little bit this week. Bengals +1.5 in Washington. Denver +3.5 at home against the Dolphins. Vikings -7 at home against the Cowboys. Under 48.5, Patriots and Texans. So 5 for me, and you gave out 5 as well, right?
6.
6, okay.
A lot of them out there.
All right, there you go. 6 for Gary, 5 for Jimmy, and hopefully we give you some winners there in week 11. And that wraps up this episode of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We will see you next week. Good luck with the wagers.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.